יומיה בא ומסחקות ביוני יומיה בא ומסחקות ביוני.
Penguin Random House Audio presents Songs for the Broken Hearted, a novel by Ayelet Tzabari. Read for you by the author with Asaf Cohen and Yossi Tzabari. For the women of my family, strong, brave, fierce, and passionate. When I sang in my youth, the neighboring women knew my deepest thoughts and heard the secrets of my suffering. When I sang on the roof of a lover, stars danced to my tune, and the skies folded their expanse and knelt at my feet. Bracha Seri, when I began to sing. There's really no such thing as the voiceless. There are only the deliberately silenced or the preferably unheard. Arundhati Roy.
Yaakov. Immigrant camp, Mahane Olim, Rosh Ha'ain, 1950. Years later, when they are old, sitting on a porch somewhere overlooking the sea, someone would ask them how it all started, and he'd say, as soon as he saw her on the other side of the drinking fountain at the immigrant camp, he knew. The air smelled of citrus, a sweet, tangy scent Yaakov had until then associated with Israel, because when they got off the plains, it flooded his nostrils. But from that moment on, it was her it evoked. He was washing his hands before dinner. She was scrubbing dishes, using sand in lieu of dish soap, her face round and open, her eyes long-lashed and lined with kohl. She was dressed in a buttoned floral dress and a red cardigan. In the camp, they were all given used winter clothes that looked nothing like the traditional clothing they had left behind in Yemen. Shoes, too, which they slipped onto their calloused, untrained feet. Feet accustomed to cracked earth and soft sand and rugged rocks. They looked up at the same time and their eyes met. And it was as though his heart stopped, or he was struck by lightning, or some other terrible cliché he'd feel embarrassed by as soon as it crossed his lips. He'd try to rewrite it and fail, because, of course, rewriting only works on paper. Still, he'd do his best. He'd gaze up at the sky, eyes squinted in concentration to the delight of their listeners on the porch, and he'd say it was like everyone else vanished from the camp and all the other smells that permeated the air, sewage and sweat and mildew and rotten garbage, evaporated, and all that was left was the scent of oranges and the two of them, looking at each other over a two-sided, rusty water fountain. She blushed and looked away. Someone behind Yaakov nudged him, urging him to stop hogging the tap, and he walked away from her gaze and her smile. When he looked back, so did she.
No, I didn't, Saida would argue. I would never.
But this is how he remembered it. The first time they spoke, she was sitting by the river. He'd tell them of her singing. He'd tell them of the snake. But he wouldn't tell them she was crying. He wouldn't mention she confessed she hated all of it. the stench and the crowdedness, the tent with its muddy, slippery ground for a floor, the scratchy blanket and the metal beds, the god-awful food, soggy bread, white, oily spread, and never enough of it. She missed her home in the village in North Yemen, the fresh mountain air, the sweet, earthy incense that perfumed their mud houses, strong basil and lemony shadab. How it was always spring there, never this cold, never this damp. Maybe her Muslim friends were right, and this was a terrible idea. And Yaqub had said, "Don't say that. This is the place for us. This is the promised land we dreamt about. It will get better, you'll see." He said it like he believed it. Someone had to. She was a poetess, and he was a storyteller. They both came from Haydan in North Yemen, both orphans and so young. He was just a boy. She was just a girl. They met at an all-Yemeni immigrant camp in Rosh Ain, once a British Air Force base and now a large tent city in a new country born of hope and despair, built on the dreams of some and on the catastrophe of others, on an ancient land soaked with blood. All around the country, other camps like theirs were being constructed in haste, one after the other, to accommodate Jewish migrants, hundreds of thousands of them from Poland, Russia, Bulgaria, Iraq, Iran, Morocco. More were still coming. Some were chased by persecution and fear, others driven by ideology or faith, by messianic zeal, all astounded by the new turn their lives had taken, the future ahead unwritten, so blank it was not even terrifying. Maybe, for some, it was even thrilling. On the banks of the Elkon River, she sang, like an angel. No, like bells. No, like clear water drawn from a deep well. And he wrote. And in the midst of all this chaos and uncertainty, at the start of a decade in the middle of a century, they fell in love. They weren't supposed to fall in love. This is how their story began.
Part 1. August 1995. I went to the Wadi to search for happy people. But all I found were my kin, the brokenhearted. Unknown Yemeni poetess. Chapter 1. Zohara. It was my sister, Lizzie, who told me. Her voice, transmitted through telephone lines that ran underneath seas and borders from Sha'aria, our Yemeni neighborhood at the edge of a suburb east of Tel Aviv, to this guest house counter in the Thai island of Koh Phangan, echoed faintly. "Zohara," she said. "Not Zorki," I noted. "You have to come home." "You have to come home," a teeny version of her repeated. "What happened?" I said. But I already knew. I'd known as soon as I opened the bungalow door to find the guest house attendant, eyes shifting as he told me the Israeli embassy in Bangkok was looking for me. "Zohara Haddad," said the man on the other line without fanfare. "Yuval from the embassy, I'm putting your sister on the line." Lizzie told me, and then told me again, that our mother was dead. That she'd collapsed in her kitchen while cleaning. I pictured an overturned bucket of diluted bleach solution. Remembered how I used to joke. A joke! That I wished someone would love me as much as my mom loved bleach. That her heart just stopped. That she died instantly. Painlessly. But how did they know, really? My mind was slow to process the information, but my body reacted immediately, as though it recognized the loss in its bones. The final cut.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?